the agenda is for today, and that is the in-home. Once you're in the home, what to say, what to do, and some things like that. And matter of fact, there was the email blast that came out, talked about it, also included the two MP3s to listen to, the in-home presentation volume 1, in-home presentation volume 2, or something like that. So I hope you've had an opportunity to listen to that. The purpose of today's call is not so much, I'm not going to go into my particular in-home presentation, but what I want to talk about more with today is it's in relationship to that, but it's basically is your own personal what to kind of look for, what to kind of do, what to watch out for, not to watch out for, some do's and don'ts, if you will, and go from that. Because if you're unfamiliar with the actual in-home presentation, then it's probably because you've just signed on and you haven't had an opportunity to listen to the MP3s. Because if you're around any of the those agents out there that are doing it and making it happen and making the income, and you listen to them and ask them questions, or if you've been in, had an opportunity to be in here in our Tuesday morning sales meeting, then you probably pretty well got a good idea as to just exactly what the in-home presentation consists of. In other words, the approach and everything else. And so I don't want to, you know, be redundant in that regard. If I have to, I will be later on down the road. But what I want to talk about is some things in addition to, in association with that. Now, first of all, I'm going to put everybody on mute so that way then I don't hear the dishes rattling in the background or somebody flushing the toilet and things like that. You can feel free to put yourself on mute. If you've got a mute capability, that's fine. If not, do a *6. And but I'm going to take care of that by doing it myself. Okay. Now then, everybody's muted out. So if you've got questions during the conference, during our call today, it's going to be difficult for you to ask them because I've got you muted out. So the best thing to do is if you're sitting near your computer and you want to ask a question, just send me an email. That's usually how it works, and it works the best that way. My email address is Vern, V-E-R-N, at thefitzgrouponline.com. That's a very long, I guess it's very hard for me to write that down on my apps each time. I need to get me a stamp that says that so it saves me having to write it each time. Okay. Well, I just we've got about 15 people. That's good. We usually have about double that, but I kind of expected that there'd be several people that's out today because, A, they once again they didn't get they got the message, but they thought it meant today's phone call also, and or we got people who was probably traveling headed towards their final destination for the holiday. Just a quick reminder regarding that. We did also send you out the email that stated that we would be closed Thursday and Friday, naturally. And in all likelihood, we're probably going to shut the doors here Wednesday about noon. It really depends on the type of business. We've asked you to, if you got business there that you've got need to submit for this week, to get them in by today. We'll still take business tomorrow and Friday morning that's been sent in, but it won't apply for this week's production. It'll have to go in next week. So if you get it in today, because F&G is also shutting their doors for the holidays on Wednesday, so anything going in today will still count for this week, but after today it won't count until next week. So the good news is that it'll make next week look good. And you still get the credit for it and everything. It's just it won't be until next week. So a little reminder there. And in all actuality, as I just walked in here, our mailman just showed up with all kinds of envelopes with apps in them. And so I told Mel, I said, I will, not that I'm going to hurry today's phone call, but we're, it may be a shortened one simply because I want to help her get some of these apps scrubbed, and so that we're not all here to midnight tonight trying to get this information in and in the system and out to help you guys. Okay, having said all of that, here's what I'm talking about. if you've been on the phone call for the last two or three weeks, then you probably noticed a pattern here, and we're going to stick with this pattern. And that what we want to have a system, if you will. The 2 weeks ago, basically what I talked about was the telephone call in and of itself. All right, so you've gotten contracted, got your training, got all your software downloads, and got your leads, and so you need to start making your phone calls, setting up the appointments, and then preparing yourself for going out and on that appointment. Last week's phone call was Bruno hosted, and it was basically in preparation for that. In other words, what forms to take, the apps, and so forth, planning the trip accordingly. In other words, all right. Well, today we're talking about the once you're in the home. Call it the in-home presentation, call it whatever you want, but it's once you're in the home and you're meeting face to face with that client. And I know when I, even today, after 3 years of running appointments and running production and everything else, I know that every time before I go in that house, I need to make sure my attitude is positive. So the very first thing, if you're taking notes, first thing you want to put down is make sure you have a positive attitude, because if you don't have a positive attitude, obviously it's going to come through as not having a positive attitude. So look in the mirror, do whatever it is. If you're in the car, look in the mirror, in the rearview mirror, and look at yourself and say, look, this we're going to make this happen. And also, while you're there, what's that old saying, power of positive persuasion? If you don't have a positive attitude, if you do think it, if whatever you're thinking and whatever your attitude is going to have a direct reflection upon the results that you're going to have in that house. I assure you that. You may not have positive results with a positive attitude, but you'll definitely have negative results with a negative attitude. So make sure your attitude is positive for that. Here's another thing, too, is if people were able to hear me on the road when I'm out there driving back and forth between appointments, they see me talking to myself all the time, because I'm usually practicing my in-home presentation. Even today, I will practice my presentation, and I'll definitely practice it more if I've left a home and wasn't successful in getting that family protected for whatever reason. And yes, there are times when, I'm not 100% successful. I'd love to be, but I'm not. And so what I try to do then is that I'll go back and reflect upon what I've just said. If I've not been successful, or if I've come across an objection there that I wasn't able to overcome, then what I'll do is I'll sit there and revisit that presentation, if you will, or relive what I just went through while I'm in the car going to my next one. And you don't want, your attitude, because you weren't successful in appointment A, you got to keep that positive attitude, because if it's not successful in A, then it's not going to be successful in B, and it seems to have a domino effect. So if for no other reason is you got to keep a positive attitude about yourself, or it's going to come across as with the client, and then it's going to be much harder to be successful with something. And also, too, this kind of goes back to in the preparation in and of itself, is that before you go out there, plan your trip accordingly. And what I mean by that is that look up, if you've got a GPS, that's great. If you don't have a GPS and you don't know where exactly it's going to be, then go on your computer, look on Mapsco, whatever tool you're using there, and find out how far and time-wise and distance-wise it is to that appointment. And in that way, plan it accordingly so that you don't wind up, leave early enough so that you're there on time and you don't wind up being behind the gun from day one or from appointment one all the way through the rest of your appointments if you got more than one. As long as you plan that trip accordingly, making sure you know how far it is, what your directions are, and if you're familiar with the area, though, you might need to listen to the news or whatever it is and find out whether or not they have any accidents so that you can plan it to maybe reroute your trip a little bit so that you can get around that and leave early enough so that you're there on time. Make sure you have all of your information with you when you get there. Never prejudge your leads beforehand either. In other words, don't don't, it kind of goes back to the attitude in that if you're going out there and knowing, thinking that, oh my gosh, you know, this is an over 70, so they're too old, they probably can't afford it, I don't even know why I'm going, you know, it's probably going to be too expensive for them, or they're dealing with a medical issue that they're probably not even going to qualify for, and so forth. And what's happening there is you just changed your, even though you don't think your attitude is any different, what's happened there is you've changed your thinking to think that you're going in there already thinking that it's going to be a no. And if you go in there thinking of that, or if you go in there thinking, no, these people are probably going to be too expensive, or they're going to have some sort of objection. So if you think it, it happens. And so what you never want to do is prejudge that lead based upon the information that you've got there, simply because they've mailed that lead in. You got to keep in mind that that's the primary emphasis there. The number one priority is the fact that they mailed that lead in. They've agreed to sit with you, or they've agreed to meet with you. So, as far as I'm concerned, it's a done deal. All if you're not able to help them, it's only because you couldn't find something that fit their need and their budget. And that's simply all it is. All right. So don't prejudge anybody based upon where they live, based upon their age, based upon their nationality, or anything like that, or the medical situation. We do have products there that are that we can pretty well take care of everybody's need, whether or not it fits their budget. That you can't judge that over the phone. So, and once you get there, here it is, folks. You can present it to them, and you know, and let them decide. All right, don't decide for them. Don't think that up front. Okay, so you've kind of prepared yourself for it, either both mentally and physically, if you will, by making sure you got the right applications, and you may have more than one type of application because you may have multiple companies. I always carry, you know, because I'm appointed with all the different carriers that we use. So I've got apps, especially when I go out of town. I'm going to have an app, at least two apps, for every carrier that I represent. That means F&G, that means Foresters, that means U.S. Financial, and that also means Presidential, and in some cases Shenandoah. All right, so I've got them somewhere, and so that way, then if I have to switch gears in the middle, you know, the old saying, switch horses in midstream, then I can do that. Now, once I'm in the house, now that I've gotten my stuff, my attitude's great. I'm positive. I'm going to be there. I'm there to help them. I'm a mortgage protection specialist. I'm not a salesman. I'm there to help them find something. I present that when I walk in the door. The first thing I want to do is, when I'm walking in there, is compliment them on something about the house, about the floor, the wall, or whatever, the paintings. Now, and I've said this before on different calls. Sometimes it's been a real challenge for me to be able to compliment them on something because the home is not what you call in the best order as far as cleanliness and as far as tidiness and so forth. But I will find something there, and I'll do something to, in order to build some sort of a rapport so they get a little better understanding that I'm human also. You know, I'll make fun of the fact that, you know, sometimes invariably they've got pets, you know, and I'll tell them that, yeah, I've got a little dog too, and that's what he likes to do is bark at people, but he's also lovable and he's a dachshund, and so we get into that, or if they've got children there, you know, I'll say something there to compliment them on their children, and or the hardwood floors. I love hardwood floors, and I really do. And so it's real easy for me at times to compliment them on the home. Or I walked in a home yesterday there and had brand new furniture, and it was just basically the same color or material that we have in ours, and I complimented them. I said, man, I love your couch. We've been looking for that. Where'd you buy that at, you know, and that type of thing. And the next thing you know, that wall that may have been built in the beginning because you're a stranger, they're a stranger, that you've not met each other before, that seems to kind of fall down real quick because they learn that I'm a person just like them. I had a couple the other day that she's a diving instructor and he dives for recreation. All right, and man, I was like, all I spent probably 30 minutes. We just started talking about diving, where they dived at, and why she did that, and what prompted her to start doing those types of things, and what prompted her to get into that type of a career, if you will. And it's just amazing. So if you can do something there, now you got to learn when to stop being complimentary in a well. In other words, you need to learn to how long there before you need to get down to the business at hand. And so basically what I'll do is sit there and compliment them, like I said, and then I'll pull out that lead sheet. And that's what's the whole basis of the rest of the conversation, because what I do there is respond to their request. And that's what I tell them. I says, and I pull it out, lay it on the table, and I tell them, I says, folks, I could sit here and talk with you guys all day. You seem like a great couple and very comfortable, I says, but let's get down to the reason I'm here. And so I pull out that sheet and I lay it in front of them, and I says, this is what I'm responding to. And you remember mailing it in, and of course they always say that, and I always make sure they're both aware of it, because maybe one person mailed it in and didn't tell the other person that they mailed it in. In a lot of cases, though, they both of them have thought it over. They've sat down and they filled it out together, or at least one person filled it out, but the other person is aware of it. And they'll tell me that, and I said, that's great. I just want to make sure we're all on the same sheet of music here, because this what this is concerns both of you, and if one person isn't as familiar with it as the other person, then I need to make sure we're all up to speed. And so what I'll do then is, and I'll ask them then their very next question, and I assure you that the rest of the conversation is going to be based upon the answer to that question. Bottom line in all of this, though, is that I learned a long time ago not to do all the talking. I learned to ask questions, let them answer your questions, and then don't try to jump in before they're finished with the question or with the answer and start talking to them about what this will do for them. I ask them, why'd you mail this in? Or it could be a combination, or it could be one of a type. Depends. In other words, why did you mail this in? What were you looking for? What was the most concern for you when you saw this that you wanted to make sure you got taken care of tonight? And I'll just stop, and I'll have them tell me. And they'll look at it, you know, and they'll look at it again, and they'll reread it, you know, and they'll go down, and they'll read the whole thing, and then they'll see those four bullets down there, and they'll look at this, and they'll look at each other, and I'll sit and wait for them, okay? I want them to tell me. And they'll say something like, well, if John died or if Mary died, I want to make sure that the loan's taken care of. And I says, that's great. I says, I'm glad you told me that, because that helps me determine which direction I need to go. All right? And so then what I say, okay, I need to verify a couple more pieces of information here, if you will. First of all, you obviously know your birth date, because that's what you put down there. And sometimes they'll put their Social Security number down, and then I'll ask them, what is your birth date? I need to verify that. I need to verify that your health is what you say it is. And I says, primarily one of the reasons we're sitting here is, if you may recall, this very first paragraph here states that you may qualify without a physical. And I says, now, that's all well and good, but the state of Texas or the state of Oklahoma or Florida won't allow us to offer that unless we at least see you, and that's why I'm sitting here. I says, you could very easily get this information over the web, but they can't guarantee you anything because they haven't seen you, nor have you answered any of their medical-related questions. I says, so what I can do for you today is this. This is what I can do for you today. First of all, verify the information here that you've told me about, that you've put down on this piece of paper here, and verify your health, ask you some health-related questions. Then, based upon what you're telling me there and on your age and so forth, what I can do then is find you a plan, if you will, that's going to satisfy your needs and your budget, because I know that's important to you. I said so, because let me explain. Is as simply as this: is I represent multiple companies. We're like a broker, if you will, And so I'm not locked into anything. It doesn't have to be the full amount here that you've got listed as your loan amount. It could be more, it could be less. It's entirely up to you. It's whatever you're comfortable with. So that's one of the reasons why it's important that we sit down here and then we go over these questions, is because I want to find something that you're comfortable with that's going to fit that need and your budget. All right, I use the word comfortable a lot. I like the word. It sounds good, kind of sounds good rolling off your tongue, and it makes them feel comfortable knowing that somebody's asking them or telling them that I'm going to make them feel comfortable. I don't know. It just seems to work for me. May not work for everybody, but it does for me. And I've learned to use that word a lot, and I've been very successful at it. All right, so what we're going to do then is kind of a step-by-step. Like I said, we verify the information. We ask them health-related questions. We find something there that's going to fit their needs, fit their budget. We then, all I do is, because there's no physical, see, it's a simplified process. All I do at that point in time is complete an application. We submit it up to the company. We get a check for whatever that first month's modal premium is going to be, whether it's monthly, quarterly, whatever you're comfortable with there. But you do have that conditional coverage as soon as I walk out the door. Now, how does that sound to you? Does that work for you? Once again, I've asked the question. I'm expecting them to respond back to me with, yeah, sounds okay to me, or whatever. Most of the time they say, yeah, works for me. I like the fact that, you know, I don't have to take a physical. It's a very simple process. All right? Great. This is what we're going to do today. Now, then what I say, okay, so you told me that you're looking for something in case you died. All right. Most companies, the companies I work with, they call this mortgage protection. However, I've changed the name for my own benefit because, Mr. Jones, what I like to call it is just-in-case protection. Just in case something happened to you before you want it to, which is normally going to be any time before you want it to, but just in case something happened to you, what you're saying then is you want to make sure your family's protected. Is that correct? Just in case you were to die within the next 30 years, you want to make sure the loan is taken. Just in case you were to have an injury and you couldn't work. Is that what you're saying? Yes. Okay. So you may pick up on a couple of things here, those of you on the phone here, based upon previous MP3s or conversations or telephone calls that we've been having lately. And when I started doing that, then it seemed to work better for me in that I used that just-in-case situation. And therefore, it always works. Just-in-case. You know, that's really what we're saying is, you're wanting something here just-in-case something happens. Great. Okay, so then what I do after that is really dependent upon how they've answered the question. In other words, if they're looking for mortgage protection and they're only looking for to pay off the loan, then I really do not, if they have not mentioned anything about the disability, I do not cover the disability. I've learned that if I do add disability, what it does is normally it adds a premium, but also you got to find out for sure what their occupation is, how much they're making, because they may not qualify due to their occupation. But minimally, it's going to probably require a phone call from F&G, a telephone interview, if you will, and 9 times out of 10, or maybe 8 times out of 10, they're going to not allow that part of that. In other words, a disability rider, they will not approve. They may approve the rest of it, which means is now then you've got it becomes an other than applied for offer, which means is now you've got to contact the client back and say, well, they've approved you for everything. Unfortunately, they wouldn't approve the disability. And all that means is that your premiums have dropped down and so forth. But most of the times, I mean, I've gotten them where they've agreed to it. But you run that risk there where they say, well, if I can't get the disability, I don't want anything. And all you've done there is delayed the process, cost somebody some time, when in all actuality they didn't really request a disability. Now, I'm not saying if they're specifically looking for disability, you still got all that criteria that you've got to verify, you know, occupation, age, and or income and all that stuff, because that's a criteria required by F&G. But still, if they don't ask, if they don't specifically are concerned about it, and even if they did say, well, I like all four of those options, then I say, okay, so disability is one of the things you're looking at. Well, we were kind of wondering about it, and I don't really know if I've got disability. Then I say, well, if you've got disability at your job, you probably don't need this, because it's an additional amount. And a lot of people, if they've got something very similar to it, then you probably don't need that, all right? And then they'll say, yeah, you're probably right, because it does cost extra money. And so I may try to talk them out of it simply because I know from experience that they're probably going to be disapproved anyway, which means is minimally an amendment, which means is it's going to be delayed. It's going to be delayed in you getting paid, or it may not get approved at all, or they may cancel it because they can't get that additional amount. So I guess what I'm saying is, without going into the full in-home presentation portion of it, what I'm primarily doing is concentrating on finding something that fits their needs and their budget. All right, and it's all dependent upon what they've told me when that original question I asked them when I went sit down with them. Why am I here? In other words, what are you looking for? And have them tell me what they're looking for, and then I will pursue finding them something that fits that particular need. I will promote return of premium. 70%, probably close to 80%, 70 to 75% of the F&G applications that get submitted are home certain, 30-year, and the only option they ask for is return of premium. 70% of 30-year return of premium only. I'm not saying is if they ask for other things that you don't offer to them. I'm just saying is that's about 70% of the applications that go into F&G right now. That is primarily what they're looking at, is death benefit and money back. So I will promote the money back. Here's the thing. Promote the value of the product. Promote the value of the product. Meaning it's a level benefit. They get to choose who the money goes to. It's not just a term product where they have to take a physical and wait to get approved. It's not a credit life where all it does is pays off the balance of the loan, which means it's normally an accidental death only. Which means is they cannot, it doesn't stay with them if they refinance the loan. They have to cancel it. They have to turn around and requalify. And depending upon their health, regardless of their health, they're now going to be older. Whether it's 4 years, 5 years down the road when they refinance it, they're going to be that much older. And age isn't necessarily something that it qualifies them, but it does determine the premium. Promote the value of the home certain product, the fact that it's a level benefit. They get to choose who the money goes to. It's not a credit life. It's portable, meaning it stays with them. When if they do refinance, guess what? They don't have to cancel it. It stays with them. And if they did need to go back and add more money to it, all they got to do is go back and add to that existing amount. They may have to qualify for that, or they may not get approved for that amount depending on their health, but they'll never lose what they've already got in place. They have 50% accidental death, which is free, okay? Promote that, guys. That's what sets you aside from the average insurance salesman going out there trying to offer them a low price, but they got to take a physical, and then they wind up doing a bait and switch because invariably they're going to get rated up. So that $20 a month that they quoted them at becomes $40 a month or $30 a month, and now then you've got some upset clients because they don't, they agreed to 20, but now you're telling me it's 40. What happened here, and because they weren't totally up front with them. That's the beauty of the home certain is what we're quoting, what we're going to find you is that's how much it's going to be. We can even guarantee the premiums never go up. It's entirely up to you. It's your choice. So promote that. Promote the fact that in most cases, in most states anyway, that the unemployment rider is a benefit there that they're not even paying for. And what that does is that if they become unemployed and able to draw unemployment, whether it's a layoff, a termination, or a downsizing, whatever political term the state happens to use at that point in time, that means is as long as they can prove they've unemployed for at least 1 month by sending copies of that unemployment check to the state, guess what? We're going to make your premium payments for the next 6 months. Bam. That is a powerful, I mean, especially in certain states where there's been a huge layoff or tends to be, especially this time of the year. Guess what? You know, this time of the year is when the layoffs normally occur. So that's a great feature. The money back, like I said, return of premium, certain states. Not every, I mean, these promote the value of the product, not the price. And this goes back to prejudging that lead before you go in there. Well, I need to make sure that I'm doing the right thing for the client. What do you mean? Well, I need to offer them Saver Select because it's cheaper. Uh-uh. Don't be thinking that just because it's cheaper. You're not looking out for the best interest of the client. You're really not. What you can do, because most Saver Selects doesn't offer an accidental death. If some states offer a common carrier accidental death. And a lot of times, too, is the minimum amount with Saver Select, the minimum amount is $150,000 if they're younger than age 60. You got a person who has a $50,000 loan next, and you got to do a Saver Select, minimum is $150,000, you just price them out of their range. Even though it's, and they still got to take a physical, they still got to qualify, and who knows what their health is going to be like. If they're dealing with any medical issues at all, whether it's blood pressure, whether it's cholesterol, whether it's maybe their height and weight is out of proportion to what they should be. In other words, they weigh more than they should. I think a lot of people may be dealing with that issue. I know I am. Point is they're going to rate them up, and which means is they're going to charge them more money. So don't just think just because a product is cheaper that it's the best one for that client. It may not be. You want to promote the value of the product, not just the cost of it. Be prepared to give options, meaning is that if the loan is $100,000 and the premium is going to be X numbers based upon that, then and if they say that that's too much for them, there's nothing that says you can't reduce the face amount. Or if they want everything on it and you've just got to, you know, offering them disability and they weren't even looking for disability, and here's the price for disability and all the other features that's too much, then you may have just priced yourself out of helping them. Basically is you can remove options, you can reduce the face amount, you can take it and, you know, reduce it down. Remember, they got 50% free, so if it's a $100,000 face amount, 50,000 of it's free. Then if they can't deal with that, drop it down to $75,000 and add the additional 75 or whatever half of 75 is, make it $75,000 accidental death. And it's amazing how quickly that face amount, the premiums drop down accordingly. And I've done that so many times. Basically what I'm saying is be flexible in that. And that's why it's always good. We always promote having a laptop because, you know, if you don't have a laptop, we're not saying is you can't do the business. It just makes it hinders you significantly, because if they have options there that they want to be able to offer, or you want to offer them options then, and you don't have a laptop in order to change all that around, you've got to contact your manager or whoever the helpline person is and have them redo some numbers, and your credibility tends to suffer a little bit. Okay? And I'm going to use a wording here, don't sell them the farm. And most of you probably know what that means. Basically what that means is what I said before is learn when to talk and when not to talk. If you as you get more confident in your own ability to sit in there in front of them and complete the, you know, the application or do the presentation, you learn that if you ask questions, you get a better response, and it also gets them involved in that decision-making. All right? Is this a concern to you? You tell me. All right? Ask questions and let them respond and let them give you the answers to the questions rather than just jumping in and telling them something there that what you think it should be. Let's see. I do have a couple of questions come on. Okay. got a question in here. You've been talking about HomeCertain a lot. What about Foresters? Yes, I have been talking about HomeCertain a lot and not so much Foresters. It doesn't matter the product. The in-home presentation is still going to be pretty much the same. Now, I haven't mentioned Foresters directly simply because as new agents, most of you haven't even been appointed to Foresters, and I think we're going to have to start changing that. I've said this before. I think Bruno and I are starting to develop a game plan, if you will, there so we can start incorporating Foresters. Foresters, there's nothing wrong with Foresters except that as new agents, you're not appointed yet with Foresters, and to get appointed with Foresters, you have to submit your first application, first piece of business, if you will, plus you also have to have E&O insurance in place before you can get appointed. That requires a cost, and that's why we haven't been promoting Foresters, simply because as new agents, most people, when they come on board, they're dealing with a shoestring budget. And so, therefore, we're trying to keep you from having to expend any more money than what you already have or can possibly have or do, at least in the beginning. That's why HomeCertain or the F&G products are such good products, because you become appointed with them at the same time that you get contract with NAA. They do not require E&O insurance. They also have one of the better products from mortgage protection. So we will, if you're starting to get, you know, as time goes on and you've been with the group for a month or two or three, and you're starting to have a few clients there that are being, that maybe the HomeCertain and or the F&G product in and of itself may not be a good choice for them due to medical or whatever it is, then as before, call us. And it may be, at that point in time, the decision may be more on your part than on our part to say, look, I need to go with another company that's going to offer them the options. But every other company that we work with here, except for HomeCertain, except for Fidelity and Guarantee Life, is going to require E&O insurance. So you're going to have to make that decision whether or not that's something you want to pursue. And it runs about anywhere from $60 to $70 a month. All right, and you pay it. You need to pay it monthly or quarterly, just like your premiums. So that's a decision you need to make. But that's primarily why we talk about HomeCertain, because it will take the HomeCertain / Saver Select or the F&G products will take care of about 95% of the needs of the client out there. Same person with another question. Can you use F&G applications that you printed out on your own printer from PDF file, or does it have to be an original app? You can make copies. So you can print them out on your own printer, and that's fine. F&G will accept that. All right. Matter of fact, I've done that quite often. I've run out of them, and I've run down to been out on the road and thought I had enough apps, and boy, that's really a good problem to have, where you've written more apps than what you've got. But I've run down to I carry a book around with me that gives me all the locations of the FedEx Kinko's locations there in the town I'm in. And so I may run down there, and I keep everything on a PDF file on my computer, or actually I've got one of them little, I don't know what they're called now, those little USB storage things there, looks like a cigar, you know, and plugs in there. I keep everything on there, because what I've learned is that you go down to Kinko's, they won't, most time you can't just plug your computer into their printer, because you don't have the software on your laptop, but you just hand them that little cigar USB storage data device, whatever it's called, to them, and just tell them, I need this printed off, and that works pretty good too. Let's see. Okay, Andy up in Tacoma says, "Can conditional coverage, can you explain this further? You mentioned in regards to receiving initial premium and that the policyholder is covered when we leave the home." Yes. With F&G, Fidelity and Guaranteed Life, it's called conditional coverage. As long as you get a check or a form of payment, cash or money order or a check, not a credit card, nor is it an issue, draft on issue situation. That means when they give you a check, they have conditional coverage, which means is that if they were to die between the time that you walked out the door and that app gets finalized, if you will, then the F&G will still evaluate that the medical history of that person, and if they were going to approve them anyway, then they would honor the claim. But if they were hiding something and they actually died of a heart attack and they tried to hide that from you, and in the meantime that person died, of course, they would still evaluate that and learn that the person had heart issues, then they would probably decline that applicant anyway. Then, of course, they wouldn't honor the claim. That's what we're talking about when we say conditional coverage. It's not, it means is that it's not temporary insurance like Forrester's offers, as long as they answer no to the three questions on the app. It's conditional coverage. It says they're conditionally covered based upon the same criteria as if they were, you know, they were applying for it and they would have been approved anyway. All right. Question I asked, another question. When you or my appointment setter, in this case, are setting up out-of-town appointments, how close do you book the appointments, and is there any strategy to book appointments close to each other? How close time-wise do you stack appointments? Okay. You probably have learned by just listening to me that I can say things pretty quick. Other times, my southern accent kind of comes into play. It's very difficult for me personally, with my own style, to get in and out of a house within an hour. Which means is my appointment setter will normally book my appointments every hour and a half apart, depending on how far apart the actual appointments are. What she does is when she gets my leads, first thing she does is separate them out by zip code, then looks up on the zip code on the internet, and basically then will try to schedule my appointments so that I don't have to, you know, run across town. Back and forth, and which is what happened to me the first appointment setter I had. She didn't pay any attention to where they were. She just started booking appointments. And I might have my first appointment may be in zone A, if you will, and my next appointment is 30 minutes away, and then my third appointment is right back where I was, you know, the first appointment. And all I was doing was spending my time driving back and forth. The lady that does my appointments now is very good at doing that. If by looking at the zip code file there on the map, she will see how far apart they are by zip code. Of course, she doesn't look at the actual street, but that gives her a pretty good idea. Normally, she will schedule mine every hour and a half apart because it takes me about anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour by the time I walk in the home, go through the presentation, you know, give them the options, and start writing up the app. And now, it brings up a good point. The last bullet I had here, or the last number I had here on my discussion about being in the home is you want to minimize your time in the home, and that doesn't mean you're cutting them short. That doesn't mean you're only saying every other word of your presentation. One of the ways you can minimize your time in the home is when you are completing that app, you don't have to complete the entire app while you're sitting there. All right, you still got to get the basic information, their name, and I don't even put the full name on there. I just put like first name and of each person if it's husband and wife, because I've got the lead sheet there and it's going to have both that information on it. If it doesn't, I ask it. All right, Sheila, what's your middle initial? All right. And you got to get their Social Security number. You got to get that while you're there. You got to get their driver's license while they're there. And so all the information that you don't have on that you need to get, you know, where were they born? You know, you got their birth date. You got their height and weight. So you don't necessarily have to put all that information down right then. What I do is go through each page, ask them the basic questions. Of course, page two, I already know what I'm offering them, so I don't have to put in home certain. I may put down the dollar amount simply because I may have several different options there, and I want to make sure I remember which one it was. And whether or not I may bubble in, you know, if they're looking for disability, you know, how much that is. Then when I get to the other ones that have yes or no questions, if it's a no, I don't I don't bubble in, though. I just keep on going. And if it's a yes question, at that point in time, do I put a yes, bubble in the yes? And then, of course, most yes questions are going to require some sort of response at the bottom of that page, whether on page 4, page 6, whatever it is. Then if it's a no, I don't worry about it. I just go ahead and go to the next question. If it's a yes, then I will ask, and I will get more information, whatever information I need at that point in time. But as long as they sign all of that and they get all of that, then it helps minimize the time that I'm in the home. Okay? So when I set my appointments are usually set every hour to hour and a half apart, depending upon how close they are together. And so usually on a Saturday, I'll have anywhere from 7 to 8 appointments that day. I start at 9 o'clock in the morning or sometimes earlier, but normally she'll set me up where I start at 9, and my last appointment is going to be at 8 o'clock at night, usually. All right. Now, there are always exceptions. How close time-wise do you stack the appointments? I think I just answered that. It's usually anywhere from an hour and a half. I know when I first started out, it was took me longer than that. I thought I had to ask all the questions, had to fill out all the paperwork there in the home, so it wound up taking me longer. So, therefore, I had to schedule my appointments farther apart. But normally right now, I'm anywhere from an hour, minimally an hour, but most time it's an hour and a half. Works out really good that way. I usually, on a weekend, when I travel out of town, I usually travel out on a Thursday. I usually have about 3 appointments Thursday evening, depending upon where I'm flying to, but usually anywhere from 2 to 3 in the evening, Thursday evening, and then I got appointments as much as possible on Friday and Saturday, and maybe Sunday morning, depending upon when I'm coming back from out of town, because I usually try to fly back on Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening, and it works out. I mean, I'm comfortable with that. My appointment scheduler is comfortable with it, and this works out really good for both of us. So I average anywhere from, assuming I can get them, of course, anywhere from 15 to 20 appointments a weekend. And that's, you know, it's pretty much the way it goes. Okay, let me see here. Now, I have one more than what we had on when we first started. We've got 16 people. That's pretty much it. Now, I don't, I always, you know, complete the app, but basically at least get all that, get the check, get the, write them out the receipt for that conditional coverage. I leave them the folder, the green folder, along with the receipts for the checks. Also, leave them that Home Certain brochure, the big colorful one, which, by the way, they have new ones out now that is both in Spanish and English. So the Home Certain brochure now comes in Spanish and English. It's like two sides, two columns, one kind of like the video showed us, that which works pretty good. And then I always write on the back of that folder how much, you know, what they've got. Death equals this, accidental death equals this, which is free, all the other benefits, and how much it is. Because I always tell them, I says, invariably, hey, I don't have anything to print it out on, but invariably all you're going to remember is you wrote me a check. So here's what you've got. And also, too, then, if you got somebody else calling up who's saying, I can do better than that, you just show them what this is or tell them how much this is. And if they can do better than that, that's great, because I want to go to work for them, because I don't know of any company that offers as good of benefits as this company does at this price. And invariably, that's exactly what happens. Okay, I don't have any more questions coming in. Here's one other thing, though, I will going to bring up, and you might have gotten it in, if you're hooked into the email blast that come from NAA. NAA just sent an email blast out today regarding if you're taking time off for the Thanksgiving. They just sent one to make sure you enjoy time with friends and family. If you're thinking there that there's probably nobody available that's going to want to see you, think again. All right? Believe it or not, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday are some of the best times of definitely for the month and also for the year to see folks, simply because they're there, all right? People are more relaxed. they've just been around family, the sense of urgency is there, and they've listed some helpful hints to get in order to see people, and I'm just going to read these to you. In other words, if you're setting up the appointment, and they may have some come back with some sort of suggestion or objection, meaning, you know, now's not a good time, whatever it is. I know you're busy and are probably on the road more than normal. Remember, there are more drunk drivers also on the road than any other time, which means more people are killed on the road. So that's a good response. Here's another one. Let's find time. You truly will not be any less busy in the next few weeks. I only need 20 minutes of your time to protect you from a family disaster. Now, obviously, I'm reading this, so you probably want to get, you know, more familiar with it so it doesn't sound like you're reading. Here's another one. I know you're busy shopping. Why not give your family the gift of protection in case you were to die? Now, I've used that a lot. Had a couple that just this weekend was saying is, oh, my goodness, I can't afford that $18.20 a month. I've still got to buy Christmas for my son. And my comment was is that wouldn't it be nice to be able to wrap up that gift that says that you will never have to worry about losing your home? What a great Christmas present is that? How can you? And then she says, well, how can you explain that to a five-year-old? And my only comment was, well, how can you explain to that five-year-old, I'm sorry, honey, we no longer have a home to live in? So you can have a response for any type of response to you. Here's another one. Your gifts you are out shopping for will do your family no good if you die. Why not let them enjoy the gifts and give yourself peace of mind, knowing your family is protected? I only need 20 minutes. Okay? So these are just some of the things that NAA has, other agents have used, and it's been very helpful. I think one of my best weeks last year was the week after Thanksgiving. In all actuality, it was the week prior to it and then the weekend after Thanksgiving because of that very reason. People are available. Once again, if you assume that they're not going to be or they're not going to want to see you and don't make the phone call, then obviously you're not going to make the sale. So don't ever assume anything. Okay, I'm going to open it up here to anybody got any comments or questions they want to ask while we're on the phone here. I'm going to open it up right now. Okay, I hear a few people. So does anyone have any questions about what we just talked about? Doesn't sound like it is. Either that or you forgot to unmute your phone. All right. So, we'll go ahead. It's been about an hour. I'm right on time, at least. Anyway, here's the thing. Reminder. If you're out in the home on from Wednesday afternoon on and need help, the hotline is still available. And you're welcome to call that, and if you need assistance. But please just use it for that purposes and rather than just calling to find out if we're open or not. We are probably going to be shutting down here in the office Wednesday about noon, give or take. Definitely be out of the office Thursday and Friday. So if I don't hear from any of you again or if I don't have a chance to talk to you between now and then, everyone have a safe, happy holidays. Don't eat too much turkey, and go out and take care of all those folks that need help and are protected over the holidays. You guys take care, and we'll talk to you later.